Good morning, everyone. We don't have any visitors, so I can skip that part, right? Okay. So if you look in your bulletin, we have coming up on October the 7th is another Operation Christmas Child Work Day. So if you are available, what time is it? Okay, details to follow. All right. I'd like to welcome everybody, though. Good morning. Glad you're here. And also, don't forget mentor care. That's been heavy on my heart lately. I don't know why. Maybe there's some kid that needs our prayer. So be sure to donate to that if you can. And be sure to pray for those kids, because it's crazy in this country that a kid would go without food. That just blows my mind that we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and there are kids in our own neighborhoods that are not getting food. That seems ridiculous to me. But so let's be the Christians God calls to be and reach out to those families if you know of any in need. And let's do that. All right, if you'll please stand and pray with me, I'd appreciate that. Father God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this church body. We're small but mighty, Lord, because I feel your presence here when I'm with these people. And I know that they trust you, they care for you, and they love you, Lord. And they express that through more than just coming to church, but the way they walk their walk. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would guide and direct and provide for them, Lord. And it's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today?
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for saving our souls. And Father, we give you praise and honor today, for you alone are worthy. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Romans 3:23 says what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was your assignment, remember, to memorize that verse from last week? I see some of you missed out. They're going to need some work, Miss Beverly. We are continuing our journey through Romans, and there is no book that gives us a clearer description of what God wants from us. And one of the things he desires most is for us to adore him. Let's tell him that we do.
Thank you.
as our men come forward for our offering, pray with me. Father, we thank you for loving us and providing for us. Father, we acknowledge that without you, we are nothing and we have nothing, and that everything that we've been given has come from you. Father, this is a time of worship where we bring to you our tithes and our offerings as you've instructed us, not because you need it, but because we need to acknowledge you, for we adore you. Your Holy Spirit is welcome here. Bless this tithes and these offerings and use them to your good and your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we pause before you and acknowledge that you are our God. We are in this room to do nothing else but worship you. Father, as we open your word now, open our eyes. Let us see you anew and afresh. Let us be drawn deeper into you. Father, we love you, and we pray that the words that are spoken now be yours, that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'll remind you that Paul is in Corinth, probably, we think. And he's writing to the church at Rome. That church is dealing with much of what you and I can relate to in a society that has turned their back on God and living for the world. And Paul is reminding them who they are, and he's encouraging them in what God wants. Look with me at chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. There are some things that are really important in those verses. One is the reminder that Jesus made a way for you and I. And what we have is completely undeserved. We are, without question, sinners. even if you like to rate sin, and your sin's not as bad as my sin, in your eyes, in God's eyes, it doesn't matter. And then look with me at verse 3. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. To me, this sounds a lot like James chapter 1, that God is reminding us that there's going to be trials. I can tell you, in all of my years in ministry, the question I have been asked more than any other question by far, why did God let this happen? Why did God let this happen? And fill in the blank, because it's been followed by everything you can imagine. Why did God let this happen? And I want to say, He told you it was going to happen. He told you it was going to happen. Because for some reason or another, we have this mindset, and I call it the Disney mindset, although you can't say that anymore because Disney's not Disney anymore. But we have this Disney mindset that when we get saved, we live happily ever after, right? I don't know why we think that, because there's nothing. I got to get a Bible, because every time I hold this up, I'm thinking the illustration's not the same. But there's nothing in here that tells you happily ever after on here in this life. Happily ever after comes when you die. I don't know why some of y'all are not looking forward to that as much as I am, but happily ever after, I'm ready for that. This is not happily ever after. This is full of trials. It is full of temptations. It is full of struggles. And the reason God lets it happen is because if He didn't, you wouldn't need Him. And you say, what? If He didn't let your life be full of trials and struggles, you would live without Him. And you say, no, I wouldn't. Yes, you would. It's the same problem we experience now as a society. Every society in history, including this one, and the one Paul is talking to here in Rome, the more God blessed them, the less they wanted to do with Him. Did you get that? The more God blessed them, the less they wanted God. That's the dumbest mindset. But we're dumb. That's why Jesus called us sheep. Robert will tell you, anybody dealing with animals, sheep are about as dumb as they come. And what Paul is telling the First Baptist Church of Rome and telling us is the trials serve a purpose in your life. Embrace them. That's hard to do. It's like trying to hug a cactus. They will make you better. Look at verse 6. When we were truly helpless, utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for our sins. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Verse 8, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. That verse 8, you need to keep that one handy for all the people you encounter. And you will encounter a bunch of them who say, I will come to church when, finish the sentence, when I get my life straightened out, when I get my life cleaned up, when, no you're not, they're not. Verse 8 says, God showed his love for you and I while we were sinners. Verse 9, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful relationship with God because the Lord Jesus has made us friends with God. That friends with God, we don't have a true grasp, I believe, on the significance of that statement. And what Paul is telling us here, and he's trying to remind the people in the church here in Rome, and he's trying to remind us, you're going to have trials, you're going to have struggles, you're going to have temptations. You are going to question where God is, why did he let this happen, and does he love me? And Paul is saying, he loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you. Trials play such a significant part of our life. And they're so hard to deal with at times. They're so overwhelming. There are things that you may never get over it this side of heaven. And God may not want you to. And you say, well, how can a God allow this in my life that has caused so much pain not want me to get over it? Because he wants you dependent on him. If my life were a movie, I want to share with you what the theme song would be. There's no song that has ever played a more significant impact in my life than this one. You've heard me quote from it a lot. I sing this song more than any other song that I have ever sung in my life because of the trials and the struggles and the temptations that we go through every day, some big, some small, some overwhelming. They serve a purpose. And here's the purpose.
Through it all. Thank him for the valleys
I thank him for those storms already brought me through. If I never had a problem, I never knew that God could solve them. I would never know what faith in his word could do. Now I tell you, if you let on, God never failed me. Trust in Jesus.
I've learned to trust in God.
Through the hard times,
through it all.
Through the dark days, now, through it all.
Through it all.
God never failed me. No, the night. Oh, yeah.
To depend upon his word.
Sing it again, let me tell you this. Through it all.
One of the things that we have to come to understand is depending on God and trusting in Him is something you learn to do. Not something that just comes automatic when you kneel and pray the sinner's prayer. You have to learn how to depend on Him. And the only way to learn how to do that is through every trial and every temptation, every heartache, where He will never let you down. And I can promise you He never has. He's made you question. He's made you wonder. There are things you will reach the end of your life on this earth and you will not have the answer to. But you have the one who has the answer. And He says, just trust me. There are things in this life you're never going to have the answer to. And the only answer you're ever going to get from God is, trust me. Just trust me. But I love the line that in that song, it resonates in my mind daily. If I had never had a problem, I would never know you could solve it. Period. Look with me at verse 12. Verse 12, chapter 6. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone has sinned. Drop down to verse 16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of man's sin. So Paul is laying out here, you get one or the other. Okay? Everybody's sinned and you're going to get the consequences of that sin, or you're going to get God's gift. Verse 17, for the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness, for for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Did you catch you live in triumph over sin? The moment that you accept God's grace, His gift, you are no longer bound to sin. You get to live in triumph over it. In a world that is sinful, you don't have to be. Look at verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Verse 20, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So, verse 21, so just as sin ruled over people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ. This, following the statements where Paul is reminding us that our lives are full of trials and troubles, and going into God's grace is all we need, allows us to show people who God is. And what do I mean by that? How you and I live in the midst of the trials and the troubles and the temptations and the muck of this world allows us to show them God's grace. And God's grace is the hardest thing for this world to understand. They cannot fathom. It does not make any sense. And when we show them what grace is, it will blow their mind. Because what people understand is right and wrong. Okay? They understand that. What they don't understand is grace. And I want to show you what grace looks like to most people in the world. Watch this.
Next. File, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things, too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like, one time, I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles.
Oh.
read the articles. I only read the articles.
Next.
My mom goes to church.
I was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
That's why it's called grace. Now, Paul has some words for this that we need to make sure we understand. Look with me at chapter 6, verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not, says Paul. Of course not. Since we died to sin, we cannot continue to live in it. That is for all the people who out there, and there's quite a few of these people in churches today who have this mindset of, I'm going to live whatever way I want to, and grace is going to save me. When I get to the scales, Jesus is going to step up there and take my place. Verse 2 says, since we have died to sin, we cannot continue to live in it. Translated, if that's what judgment looks like, I don't think it is. But if it is, when you step up and you're looking for Jesus, He's going to say, I don't know who you are. If we continue to live in sin, He's going to say, I don't know who you are. Look at verse 3. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism, we joined Him in death? That means who we were before we gave our life to Him died. And we're not that person anymore. I always like to vocalize it in my head for me is what Jesus expects, and we like to say that He gives a free gift of salvation. It is, but it comes with expectations. Because if we're truly His, then what He expects is us to live like it. And so I like to say, Jesus died for you. Now He expects you to live the life He didn't. The only way to do that is with Him. And give Him your life. So verse 4. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead by glorious power of the Father, now we may live new lives. New lives. That's not old lives. That's not the things we did before. That's a new life. Verse 5. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that in sin might lose its power. Your old life needs to have been crucified. If it hasn't, then you have some things you need to deal with. And you say, but I'm still going to sin. Yes, you are. What Paul is not saying to us is, the moment we become saved, now we're perfect Christians. That's not possible, and that's not what Paul is saying. What he is saying is, that should be our desire. That's what we want. What should govern our life is, on a daily basis, I'm going, God, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want? I, for more years than I have count, have people, I've been in a position in employment where people report to me. What they ask is, what do you want me to do today? When they show up, what do you want me to do? Do you say that every day? Are you working for yourself? Look at verse 8. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. Verse 9. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and He will never die again. Death no longer holds any power over Him. When He died once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Who are you living for? Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have a new life. So you use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin no longer is your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. What that means is, our old life is done. Sin has no power over us. And we are covered by the blood of Christ. And His grace changes everything. Look at verse 15. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we cannot go on sinning? Of course not. Do you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can choose to be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, who leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were a slave, now you are wholeheartedly obeying the teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery of sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. That's our goal. Because grace changed everything. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for Paul's words and how they're just as important today as they were the day he wrote them. And the church that he wrote them to is dealing with much of what we deal with in a society that wants very little to do with you. Father, let us don't be slaves to sin, but let us be slaves to righteous living, that through the trials and the temptations that we face, we become more dependent on you so that we can show the world your grace. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.